Saturday marks the official kickoff of Wisconsin's inland fishing season, but depending on how far north you hail from, you may have to wait. That's because there are reports of ice still blanketing many lakes in the northern part of the state. So today, we've assembled a panel of fishing and outdoor experts to tell us all about it on a special edition of the West Side Outside. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for joining us this Monday morning on Ideas Network stations 88.3 WHWC and 88.7 WRFW. We've got a panel of very good guests this hour, and I want to put out the phone number right away. So if you've got questions or comments about the fishing season, about the conditions on the lakes that you like to frequent, give us a call. We've got the people that can at least hazard a guess. 1-800-228-5615. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce our guests. First, as always, we've got one of the two outdoor guys. Dave Carlson is on with us. Joe Knight is not. He's under the weather. But, Dave, always a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, thank you very much. I hope, Joe, you're feeling better.
Yeah, I know he's listening. And maybe he can call in, too. But, Joe, I feel better. I hope it's not what I had last week. It was miserable flu.
I think he's paying the price for camping with his wife last weekend.
We'll get into that in a bit here. Also joining us, we've got Debbie Sturchy. She joins us by phone. She is the executive director of Wisconsin Indian Head Country. Debbie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thanks for joining us.
Yes, you bet.
Also joining us by phone, we've got Max Wolter. He's a DNR fisheries biologist based in Hayward. Thank you for joining us, Max.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Good to have you. And then joining us in studio, we've got Joseph Gerbyshack. He is a DNR fisheries biologist based in Eau Claire. Welcome.
Thanks for having me on, Rich.
My pleasure. And we've already got a phone call coming in. That's good. 1-800-228-5615 if you've got questions or comments. This weekend marks the first day of the inland fishing season. And, of course, with that is a long-time tradition, the governor's fishing opener. So, Debbie Sturchy, you're going to kick us off today. What's happening in Chautauqua?
Right. We will have the 53rd annual Wisconsin Indian Head Country's Governor's Fishing Opener. We do the opener every year, and we move around the area. And this year we will be in Chautauqua on the Chautauqua chain. Previously, the last time we were here was 1995.
Very cool.
Yep, and it's by invitation only. It's a media event, and we invite media people in radio, television, newspaper, magazines, and also we invite government officials as well as some fishing industry people to the area for the weekend to fish the area lakes and see what it's all about and go back and hopefully write articles about the area and bring back tourists.
It's all about that tourism dollar, that's for sure. So do you know, is there ice on the chain of lakes still?
Well, there is some open water and there is some ice. And being an optimistic person that I am, I'm feeling with the 70-degree temperatures in the next couple days and then 60s the rest of the week and a little bit of rain, it will take the ice off the lake. If you talk to some of the locals in town, some say, oh, there'll be ice on the lake, and others will say it'll be gone.
Debbie, where are you going to be holding that expo, and what might people run into by attending?
Right. Chautauqua Chamber is doing a fishing and outdoor expo, which is open to the public, and it will be at the Chautauqua City Beach Park from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday, and they have lined up approximately 25 to 30 booths. There'll be boat dealers, dock manufacturers, golf courses, sport shops, tourism booths, area recreational clubs, and they will be serving food and refreshments.
How many people are you expecting to attend the media-only portion of it?
We've got about 125 participants for the whole weekend, and then for the banquets, which we include local VIPs, et cetera, we've got 210 for Friday night, and we have 180 for Saturday night.
Very cool. So people that you go to the Saturday event, I mean, is there any chance for food, drinks, et cetera? Is it all going to be on tap there?
Yes, yes. The local chamber has lined up a food booth as well as refreshments.
Got the governor coming?
The governor is attending the opener. He's coming Friday and will attend the banquet and speak there. And then he's spending the night and going out fishing on Saturday morning.
You know, it reminds me of the first governor's fishing event after the Act 10 thing. You remember out on
Lake Wasota?
Lake Wasota. You and Joe were there, and I saw you there. And that was when we had people with signs.
People demonstrating. Yeah, it can get political at times.
It can, but it has. Since then, I don't think it's been like that.
No, it's calmed down pretty much.
Yeah.
What's the history of it? Started by former Governor Warren Knowles?
Yes, it was started by former Governor Warren Knowles in 1965, and he involved Indian Head with it, and we have been putting it on ever since. And Warren did die in 1993 at the governor's fishing opener when we were on Lake Arbutus.
During the event?
Yes, during the event on Saturday.
Wow.
But he did get a full day in of fishing, and then he just passed away in his car.
Oh, man.
Sitting there listening to the Brewers game.
Yes.
Wow. That's interesting.
He was a gentleman. I enjoyed meeting and talking to him about fishing and other outdoor activities and
real legend
things
too.
Going on in Wisconsin. He was a real legend. That's right.
Absolutely.
Sounds like a good last day, though.
Yes,
fishing Brewers.
I would agree. So I don't know whose territory that would be. That would probably be yours, Joseph, or would you share it with...
Chitek chain is...
That's Max?
Yeah, no, that's managed by the biologist of the North in Barron and Polk Counties, who's Aaron Cole.
I was just wondering if either of you could chime in on the whole ice situation on that particular chain, because the chains seem to be the ones that are more open anyway.
Right. It's a pretty good sized body of water, so the bigger bodies of water tend to go out first just because wind can act on that ice for a longer period of time and really deteriorate it. So I'd be optimistic too and say hopefully we'll be it'll be ice free, or at least portions of it will allow for boat access to at least parts of the lake.
Can people go online and get more information if they're curious, Debbie?
As far as the expo goes, if you go to the Chitek Chambers Facebook page, they do have information on the expo.
All right. Anything else? Any other questions, Dave, that you've got for the expo?
No, I'll be seeing Debbie. I'll be coming up for the banquet Friday night, along with many other people, I suppose. And
how many years have you been covering this?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I mean, quite a few. Debbie's been there since she was a toddler, I think.
Yep, I started here in 1973.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Very cool.
When the event was 8 years old.
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. I know your family's been deeply involved in this over the years, and done a lot of work with tourism folks around there. Is the tourism secretary, Stephanie Klett, going to be there?
Yes, she will be along with the secretary of DNR, Dan Meyer.
Oh, yeah. That'll be cool.
Excellent, excellent. They'll all have a time to talk about what they're doing.
Yep, they'll be on the Friday program as well as the DNR fisheries biologist from this area.
If memory serves me correctly, was Tony Earle the governor when it was held at Chitek?
The last time, I can't remember when Tommy Thompson was running for governor, but he attended the 1 year as he was just before he got into office, and I'm not sure, I can't remember if that was 86 or 95. My math isn't working good today.
Well, it's always interesting to run into the same people. I enjoy meeting them and sharing a few stories and checking up on each other's activities the past year and what they've got in mind for the year before. And that's kind of the way a lot of fishing activity goes. That's what makes an opener special.
You bet. The Tainer will be there. I think he's attended every single opener. He's retired now from radio, but he still comes with his son who works in radio up in Hayward.
Right. He's 83 years old. I think he's missed one governor's opener. He was at the first one.
Huh.
Dick Kaner, Rice Lake.
Very
you're
cool.
Out there listening, Dick. Hello. We'll see you there.
All right. Well, it sounds like a great event. 10 to 3 on Saturday, May 5th, at the Chetek Beach Dock. Did I get that right, Debbie?
It's the Chetek City Beach Park.
Beach Park.
Yep, it's behind the actual beach.
All right. Well, Debbie, thank you so much. Debbie Sturche is the executive director for Wisconsin Indian Head Country, which is one of the sponsors of the longtime governor's fishing opener. Invite only on Friday night for a nice dinner in town. A lot of media people will be in town for the tradition. And then, of course, it's wide open on Saturday. So if you've got any questions, give Debbie a call at the Wisconsin Indian Head Country. So, with that, Debbie, we're going to let you go because we know that people are probably kicking down the door to get more information about this. But thank you for coming on the program today.
Well, thank you for having me on, and you have a great day.
You do the same.
You bet.
We're going to take our first break here on the West Side Outside. We have got two DNR fisheries biologists and an outdoor guy who can answer all of your questions, fishing related and otherwise. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call if you've got questions or comments. Our phone lines are wide open. We'll be right back.
Support for WPR comes from The Ridges in Bailey's Harbor. Open year-round with a 1/3 mile accessible boardwalk, educational programs and activities for all ages, and 5 miles of hiking trails. RidgesSanctuary.org.
The Eau Claire County Humane Association is always looking for volunteers to assist in several areas. If interested in finding out about volunteer possibilities, like helping plan fundraisers and outreach events, details are online at eccha.org.
You're listening to the West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us this Monday morning. We're talking about the spring fishing opener, which happens, the inland fishing opener, this Saturday. And to discuss a little bit about the conditions out there, we've got Max Walter. He's a DNR fisheries biologist based in Hayward. He joins us by phone. Joseph Gerbyshack, DNR fisheries biologist based in Eau Claire, joining us in the studio. And, of course, we've got Dave Carlson, one of the vaunted outdoor guys. And Joe Knight is recovering. He's under the weather. So if you've got a question or a comment about the fishing season, about openers, about what lakes might be open, you know, where fish might be this time of year because of the unseasonably cold weather we've had, give us a call. We'll do our best to answer it. 1-800-228-5615. So let's go up to Max, way up in the Northwoods. What's going on as far as ice cover in your neck of the woods, Max Walter?
Well, we still have a lot of it. Most of the natural lakes, the ones that don't that aren't impoundments, that don't have big rivers coming in, most of those are still locked up fairly tight, although we have seen some pretty significant changes just in the last few days. The ice color has changed a lot. We've gone from kind of that really solid white, even with a little bit of snow on top, to now that gray, pretty punky ice. So things are starting to happen, and with the forecast we've got, you know, Mother Nature's going to make a pretty honest attempt to create some more open water by Saturday.
Punky ice. I've not heard of that. I like that. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about high temps today. What, in Eau Claire, we could hit 80 today,
that's
couldn't
right.
we?
Yeah.
That's bananas.
Punky is kind of bubbly-looking ice.
Oh, okay. I've never heard of that.
I
thought it was like, you know, like a...
When is it safe? Hey, guys, talk about the ice then. When is it safe to go on that last ice? How far do you dare take it?
Well, certainly no ice is ever safe ice. You got to be careful.
I would agree.
Especially this time of year. I mean, you can have a foot of ice, but that if that ice is, like Max said, pretty punky, that won't support a lot of weight, even if it's a foot thick.
I would be outraged if I saw someone on the ice right now. At least I was just out on Lake Wissota at a friend's house, and it doesn't look like anybody or anything should be out there.
Right. Lake Wissota, being an impoundment, that's mostly ice-free right now. There's still probably about 20-30% ice cover on it. But that should be wide open for opener. So, and it might be a busy one if we got some folks coming down from Max's neighborhood.
That's
coming down south to fish some of this open water if he's got ice up there.
Hey, say, gentlemen, we've got a caller on the line from Glenwood City. Christina, are you on?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
What's your question?
I am wondering if there is a specific number that I can call to determine whether a lake is open or not. That will help me to decide where I plan to fish.
Sure. That would be wonderful.
That would be great. Since ice conditions are changing by the day, I mean, a lot of ice or a lot of lakes will probably open up today, at least around that area. Your best bet's to call a local bait shop. They have a lot of great information. Or the local fisheries biologist in your area. So if you're out of Glenwood City, that would be the biologist out of Baldwin.
Oh, Baldwin. Oh, but, you know, I was thinking more of the Birchwood area.
Okay, the Birchwood area, that would be the biologist out of Barron County named Aaron Cole.
And myself, too. Birchwood kind of reaches down into, or my area kind of reaches down towards Birchwood, so... Yeah, you know, things are going to probably look really different by the end of the week, so I'd recommend holding off on that call until Thursday or Friday, if you're able to, if that works with your plans. I think we probably will see a lot of open ice around Birchwood, or a lot of open water around Birchwood by Saturday, but, you know, the local experts are going to be the ones that can tell you. So one of the bait shops, maybe one of the resorts on one of those lakes are going to be great resources, and they can give you up-to-the-minute info just by looking out their back door.
Late ice affects a lot of things in a lot of different ways, and I know it affects fishery managers doing their spring survey work and their egg gathering and so forth. Talk about that, guys, how it disrupts your plans, if you would.
I just wanted to thank Christina quick. Thanks for the call. Hopefully that helped you out. If anyone else has questions, 1-800-228-5615. Didn't mean to interrupt. So
Yeah. No, that's
Joseph Grbyshek.
Great question, Dave. Yeah, typically this time of year we're done with all of our walleye surveys and we're kind of into our bass panfish surveys, but this year we haven't even started our walleye surveys. We're actually setting nets today on Otter Lake. Far east central Chippewa County. So that lake is about 70-80% ice free right now to allow us to get some nets in and likely going to be a pretty darn quick spawn. Water temps are going to rise very quickly, so those walleye are going to be in and out real quick. So we're about 3 to possibly 4 weeks behind schedule right now.
What about up by in the North Country, Max? What are you seeing up there as far when might you get in to do your work that you've got to do?
We put some nets in yesterday. We have open water on a number of our smaller flowages on the Chippewa River. These are ones that have, you know, a ton of runoff coming into them, and that broke up the ice pretty quick. So we will be on the water on those types of lakes, but on the bigger ones, we're going to be waiting. And then, like Joe said, you know, when things happen, it's all going to happen at once. And sometimes we have a nice progression of fish species spawning, the pike, and then the walleye, and then the perch and muskies. You know, there could be a lot of overlap between all those species, which can make for a pretty hectic spring for us. We're running from one lake to the next, trying to, you know, hit the peak times for each different species.
Late ice also affects the trappers who go out after minnows for fishermen to buy at the various bait shops. And I've been hearing rumors that some minnows are going to be in short supply because they haven't been able to do their trapping.
That very well could be the case, yeah.
I talked to one local bait dealer who was really anxious to get out this week. So, yeah, I know they're definitely under the gun as well.
It's a big part of their business, obviously. And the crunch of opening day makes it a little more hectic.
It's going to be a busy one out there.
I bet. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call. If you've got questions or comments, we're talking about the spring fishing opener kicks off Saturday, although there have been some seasons that I've been reading about some fishing.
Sure, the early catch and release season is open in many counties in Wisconsin. That's for trout. So anglers have been able to get out since the first weekend in January to catch and release trout. Dave, have you taken part in that at all?
I do. I love it. It's been a challenge at times this winter, though, because of cold blasts we've had going through. Fortunately, like some from our area, I was able to get to Florida for a little bit with the family. And down there, it was the same way. Cold fronts going, moving in and out, affecting fishing. It was warmer than here, but not very much. There were nights in the 40s and daytime temperatures in the waters that, for example, I read where Tampa Bay went from 78 degrees down to 65. Well, that definitely shuts down the fish.
Sure.
Joe and Max, tell me both, what do fish do when the ice is in like it is in many cases, and where will they be after that last ice has disappeared opening weekend? How does it affect their habits?
Let's start with you, Max.
Yeah, you know, these fish are ready to go. If you're a walleye or perch or a muskie, you know, your eggs have been developing all winter, and when you get a late ice out, they're fully ripe. Be a term we'd use, and they're ready to drop them. So they're going to be invading the shallows. Walleye will be on rock bars, rocky points. Muskies, pike, they'll be going back into bays along with the panfish, just looking to warm up a little bit. So use that thermometer on your boat to, you know, find the warmest water in the lake, which will typically be protected bays, and that's where you're going to find a lot of the fish congregating, except for the walleye, which will be, you know, out on those windy, rocky points, spawning at night for the most part.
Or in those reservoir systems, those walleye may still be up by those dam structures further upriver.
Yeah, definitely.
Walleye are the bread and butter fish, and certainly they were in the political arena, too, a few years ago with the governor's walleye initiative, mm-hmm. whether or not we should be doing that with walleyes. Now, what's happened to those fish, Joe?
Yeah, sure. We got a few walleye initiative lakes in Chippewa County. We've been seeing some pretty good results on Otter Lake. We've been seeing some phenomenal growth rates there. That's an extremely productive body of water. Mm. Some of those fish stocked in 2013 are already over 20 inches in length already.
Gosh, that's right? Good growth.
Yep. Wow.
Great growth. Other lakes, lakes like Sand Lake, fairly infertile, gin-clear lakes. We're seeing good survival, but pretty slow growth on those fish. As comparison to Otter Lake, those fish are only about 13, 14 inches at, you know, it'd be age 5 right now. So,
What about up by you, Max?
Yeah, we have quite a few of the lakes that are getting stocked with those what are called extended growth walleye. So they're stocked in the fall at 6 to 8 inches long. And those are the ones that the DNR hatcheries are producing a lot of right now to make up for the walleye recruitment shortfalls that we've had, you know, low amounts of natural reproduction compared to what we've had historically. So we're stocking a bunch of lakes up here, and we see a real range in results. Some lakes, it works really well and almost mimics what walleye would be reproducing naturally, and some lakes, we don't get the same returns. And it seems like there's some connection to water color and, you know, habitat quality and things like that. So we're learning more about how to stock and how to stock effectively, and we're creating some good fisheries by doing it. Our growth rate is generally a little slower than what Joe reported for his lake down there. Some of the first fish stocked through the walleye initiative around 2013 and 14 are just hitting legal size of 15 inches right now.
What about the tribal spear fishing season?
What about the tribal spear fishing season? I had his mic turned off. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, that is something that will be happening along with, you know, other anglers getting out in the water. Tribal harvesters will be getting out at night and doing their thing. We tend to see in years when we have a late ice out and a expected shorter spawn, tribal harvest numbers are a little bit lower generally because they're not able to get to all the different lakes when the walleye spawn's happening, just like we're not able to get to all the different lakes always when we're doing our surveys. So, yeah, it's something that'll certainly be going on, and, you know, we ask people to be respectful and, you know, share the resource. We have a really sophisticated system that, you know, kind of makes sure that walleyes aren't being over-harvested and sets some safe harvest limits. So it's all being closely monitored, but, you know, we do ask people to be respectful of one another out there.
Joseph Gribyshank, anything to add there?
Recent reports, they've, you know, tribal harvest has started, at least in this neck of the woods, with some a little bit of open water that there is. So,
Well, I was wondering, just from a layperson's perspective here, if DNR managers or fisheries biologists are going to be are going to be scrambling because all the fish are spawning at once. Does that cause any problems for the fish if they're all just doing their thing, or for anglers anyway? Are they going to have trouble finding fish other than in the places where they're those protected bays and whatnot? Is it just kind of muck it up with the ice out?
One thing we've seen with this real variable ice out the past 10, 15 years, you know, you have a real early ice out, real late ice out. That seems to affect the reproduction of walleyes. That's one thing that we've seen. So it'll be an interesting year class this year. We'll see if they produce a good year class. I guess time will tell. A nice warm up generally helps. If you get a cold spell after those walleye spawn, typically that hurts a walleye year class there.
Hmm. One of the favorite pastimes of anglers, fish consuming community, is the smelt season.
Yeah.
Up on Lake Superior. And last I had heard, there was still plenty of ice in Schwamigan Bay, which is extremely popular. I'm not sure about the Superior area.
Well, I was up there not long ago, and there's still ice along the shore on Wisconsin Point where a lot of people used to smelt, but you know, I haven't seen many seines getting drugged from the water there in like 10 years.
What are you hearing from your colleagues up there, Max?
Yeah, like you said, still lots of ice in Schwamigan Bay and still some ice out around the Apostle Islands. A lot of the main lake shorelines are starting to open up, but man, it's been really windy, so it hasn't been very hospitable for getting out there and recreating. I know some people are still going out on the ice up there. People will want to use caution, but I think we're still a little ways away from the good smelt runs. I know the steelhead fishing on the Brule has been really good, been fish coming into there.
Hmm. And the I do know that people are able to, there's the shipping channel on the Wisconsin Point where people will sneak behind there with drop nets, and I've seen some people smelting there. It's different than the old way, but I guess that's popular down in the Lake Michigan, southern part of Wisconsin. If you've got a question or a comment, we'd love to hear it. 1-800-228-5615. We're talking about the spring fishing inland season opener with Max Walter of the DNR and Joseph Gerbyshack of the DNR. And also we've got Dave Carlson. He's an outdoor writer and also creator of the longtime TV show Northland Adventures. 1-800-228-5615. We've got phone lines wide open for you right now.
Max or Joe, I'd like to hear you talk about some of your favorite projects coming up this spring and summer, what you might be doing that you haven't before, what you're continuing, and what the angler is getting for his or her buck.
Sure. I got an interesting project happening on Duncan Creek and Elk Creeks,
right,
in the area. Yeah, it's a trout transfer project. We're basically removing trout from the headwaters areas where there's great natural production and very high density to areas further down the stream where it has the thermals to support trout, but the habitat's been degraded. So there's very little natural production down there, and we're seeing some great growth rates upstream because basically there's too many mouths to feed up there, not enough resources. So we're seeing bigger fish upstream where we're removing those fish, and also downstream we're creating this fishery really where there wasn't much of a fishery in the past. And this project's funded by the local Trout Unlimited chapter, the Clearwater chapter of Trout Unlimited, so we're very grateful for that.
Yeah,
what's the message to fishermen?
Take some fish home with them. It doesn't hurt to take some fish home in the creel, especially trout. There's a big catch and release mentality in the trout fishing community, and certainly that works for some areas, but in areas where you got high density, a lot of small fish, by all means, take some fish home. They're great eating.
Max, how about you up your way?
Well, since we're up in Hayward, I should probably talk muskies.
Yeah.
Even though it's not the muskie opener this weekend, we'll be doing muskie surveys, and we put out a lot of tags into muskies out here. We've actually put out over 23,000 tags in the Hayward area. And these are called PIT tags, which is P-I-T, Passive Integrated Transponder. And we can use those tags to get all kinds of great information off our muskies about how fast they're growing, how well stocking's working, and how we can adjust our stocking strategies, how many fish are out there in the lake. So we're getting a ton of tags out there, and now is the fun part to go out and recapture those fish and get some of the information back. So my crew does that, and then we're also working with guides, local anglers through Muskies, Inc., and now also resorts by giving them scanners so when they catch a muskie, they can scan it, get the tag number, report it back to us. So it's a really fun community effort to collect this data, and people get to go out and enjoy themselves fishing and learn more about the fish they're catching.
And how do people get involved with that? Because I saw a really neat story about he's not even a guide, I think. He's just a really hardcore muskie angler who goes around with one of these scanners in his boat. Can anyone do that, or do they have to be certified or something?
Yeah, in theory, anybody can do it. I think it would help to, you know, talk to your local biologist if you're interested in being a part of that, and he can make sure you're getting hooked up. He or she can make sure you're getting hooked up with the right equipment. But, yeah, we've worked a lot with Muskies, Inc. in different parts of the state to purchase that equipment and get it out there with anglers, get them trained in on how to collect it. So Muskies, Inc. is a great resource. Your local biologist is a great resource. Find out if you have those tags in the area and where. So, yeah, and now we're actually renting some out through resorts on the Chippewa Flowage, or loaning them out, I should say. There's no fee, but some resorts will have a reader, and when guests come up and want to go muskie fishing, they can take one out with them.
When is the muskie fishing season opener?
Oh, let's see. It'll be the third Memorial Day weekend, Saturday of Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, boy. Still some time to go.
Yeah.
Well, let's take our final break here on the west side. We've still got plenty of time to take your questions and or comments. 1-800-228-5615. Let us know if you're going to be hitting the water this weekend, and if so, where do you plan to go? Or do you think you might be locked out by ice? We'd love to hear either way. 1-800-228-5615. Joined by Max Wolter of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, Joseph Gerbyshack of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and outdoor guy Dave Carlson. This is the West Side.
On Central Time, you hear about what's making news in Wisconsin, whether it's in the halls of the state capitol or on the shores of Lake Superior. We examine national stories through the lens of life in the Badger State, and we talk about how the biggest events of the day will affect us right here in Wisconsin. We ask what you think about politics, the economy, and much more. Join us weekdays on Central Time from 3 until 7 or online anytime at WPR.org.
Support for WPR comes from Hooper Corporation, supplying custom construction services, including electric power, mechanical, and green technology to commercial, industrial, and utility customers nationwide. Hooper Corporation, a Wisconsin company since 1913. Support also comes from Volume 1 and The Local Store, featuring locally inspired books, music, art, and more. Inside the historic building at 205 North Dewey Street in downtown Eau Claire, or at volume1.org/store.
I'm Rich Kramer. You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us on Ideas 88.3 WHWC and 88.7 WRFW. We're talking about the spring inland fishing season opener, which kicks off May 5th, this Saturday. If you've got a question or comment, give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. We've got two expert fisheries biologists with the Department of Natural Resources. Max Wolter joins us by phone from Hayward, and Joseph Gerbyshack joins us in the studio right here in Eau Claire. And also we've got Dave Carlson. He's a legendary outdoor writer from these parts. Joe Knight normally is Dave's counterpart, but he is under the weather. Get well, Joe. If you've got a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-228-5615. So Max and Joseph, we've still got ice on the lake. So that kind of always brings up the old question about how fish fared over the winter. So any news on that front? We'll start with Joseph.
Yeah, so that's a great question, Rich. So the longer the ice stays on the lake, the more of a chance there'll be a winter kill situation in that body of water. And what causes this is basically the fish just run out of oxygen.
Yeah.
When you get late ice conditions like this, snow's been on top of the ice since December, basically no light can penetrate through that ice, so all that vegetation in the lake dies. It's no longer growing, producing oxygen. It's dead and decaying now and actually consuming oxygen. I'm saying, you know, obviously fish need oxygen as well. So they're all competing for this limited resource in the lake. So when you get late ice off conditions like this, it can get pretty low in some lakes. And basically it's a natural process. And we see this on a well, fairly frequent basis on a lot of the small lakes in the Chippewa County Forest. So if you're out there fishing this spring and you see dead fish along the shoreline, don't be alarmed. It's a natural process. And this actually can help some lakes, too, by kind of thinning the fish out. So the fish that survive, you get faster growth rates, and actually can produce some pretty big fish in the long run.
So you have seen some of these on what lakes specifically?
Yeah, specifically like in the Chippewa County Forest, maybe like Horseshoe, Firth Lake, South Shattuck. Those are lakes that typically winter kill. Plummer Lake was getting pretty low. We typically monitor the dissolved oxygen levels in these lakes right before ice goes out, so we know what lakes likely will be affected.
Is there much aeration activity going on?
No, a lot of those lakes are remote, so to get electricity into those lakes would be 1 feet. Then you got to find somebody else to fit the bill for that aeration cost as well.
Sure.
So no, not right now, not in a lot of these lakes, but there are other local lakes that are aerated, like Half Moon here in Eau Claire.
Sure.
Hallie, we got Chapman Lake in Stanley, Otter Lake just north of Stanley. So there is aeration system on quite a few local lakes.
Any new rules changes for this year?
There are a few here locally. I'm sure Max has some as well. This was voted on last year at the spring hearing, so it goes into effect this year. It's the 50-inch minimum size limit on lakes with soda and Holcomb for muskie. So that should help maximize the trophy potential for those bodies of water. Here in town, we got Half Moon Lake that I mentioned earlier. That bag limit for bass is going to go from 3 to 5, and there's a 14 to 18 inch protected slot on those fish. So there's a real high density of bass in Half Moon Lake. If we could weed some of those smaller fish out, hopefully increase growth rates, that would be great. So we're asking anglers, hey, take some of those small bass home with you. They're phenomenal eating. Typically we've been told catch and release, let's throw these bass back to grow. Well, that's not what's going to happen in this situation. If you throw those bass back, they're likely not going to grow a lot. What you can do to help those fish is to keep a few fish, bring them home with you, fry them up just like bluegills.
Really?
Yep.
That lake, I'll tell you, once the water warms up a little bit, it's a busy lake. I'm really impressed with how many people are out there fishing, but I don't know if they're catch and release or not.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, they can help the bass fishery by taking a few of those small largemouth home with them.
Sure.
What about up your way, Max?
Yeah, well, Max, did you have any winter kill up north?
Well, it's kind of to be determined in most cases, but we do expect. Joe gave a really nice summary of those conditions and why it happens, and there's a couple places where we expect we'll probably see a little bit, yeah.
New rules up your way?
Just a few. Similar, a couple places where we increased the size limit for muskies, including the Chippewa River below the Chippewa flowage, and a couple places like Grindstone and Whitefish Lake where we've increased the size limit for smallmouth bass to try and help them reach their trophy potential, since a lot of people really enjoy them as a catch-and-release opportunity.
How do you think the public is reacting to fishing in general? It seems to me that we hear occasionally that I want to go fishing, but there's nobody to take me, they've given up fishing because what's the status in your opinion of fishing these days in Wisconsin and in general?
Well, I mean, as a program, of course, we really closely track how many fishing licenses are being sold in the state, and it's actually been relatively flat, especially if you compare it to hunting licenses, which are starting to drop off a little more. And mm-hmm. One thought there is that, you know, hunting is a little bit more physically demanding, so we're starting to see some of the baby boomer generation dropping out of hunting, but they're staying in fishing because it's a little more low impact, a little more leisurely. So our license sales have continued to stay pretty solid, but, you know, we are trying to prepare for that in the future and trying to recruit that next generation of anglers, not just for our own interest because we want to sell licenses and, you know, have a well-funded fisheries program, but because, you know, everybody who got into this line of work believes it's a great pastime, it's a healthy thing to do, you can go out and collect your own wild food and have a lot of fun, and for $20 a year for a license, you know, you can get countless hours of entertainment and like I said, great wild food. So we have a lot of good programs trying to recruit younger anglers, trying to recruit older anglers and get them back into the sport, trying to, you know, create more angler mentors, which is something you mentioned, not having people to take people fishing. We're putting on a lot of programs now to train people on how to do that.
One program that we have here in Eau Claire is a loaner rod program. So anglers can stop in to the Eau Claire Service Center. We got about 35, 40 rods loan out to just anybody. And stake your name and information, and you get a free fishing rod for the day. Your best bet is to call ahead and reserve those items, but feel free to stop in and see if they're available for that day.
Do you have plenty of use, though? Do people know about it?
Not quite as much as you'd think. Some school groups use them, old folks' homes, things like that. But not, you know, we don't see a kid ride up on their bike and ask for a fishing rod. And I'd like to see that if they need one.
Joe, yeah. Do they get a recommended spot straight from you?
If they ask, I'll give them one.
So, Joseph, you know, you're a younger fella, as I am, I guess. Do you think it's a generational thing? Because you hear about the decline in deer hunting, and it's a nationwide phenomenon. Is it happening with fish?
Like Max said, the fishing license sale has been flat. But with the younger guys, you know, I mean, a lot of people seem to be busy with their kids in sports, things like that. And they don't seem to take as much time, in the outdoors. I mean, we see this with a lot of our, rod and gun clubs, angling clubs, things like that. They have a hard time recruiting, younger guys like us. So, I mean, we'd encourage anybody out there listening to get involved. Muskies, Inc., Trout Unlimited, Rod and Gun, anything like that to just get more involved.
Mm-hmm.
Take a kid fishing.
All right.
That's what it's all about, the future, really.
1-800-228-5615. We can take your question or comment if you've got them. So we got a couple things to mention. Well, first of all, I kind of wanted to go back. I hate to jump back and forth, but we were talking about walleye earlier and the extended growth walleye. You know, some of the fish that were planted in 2013, 2014, now catchable size, now very nice size, it sounds like, depending on where you go. But I read an article from Wisconsin Outdoor News that according to a study published in Canadian Journal of Fisheries and Aquatic Sciences, walleye production has dropped in Wisconsin lakes since 1990. Now it takes 1.5 times longer to produce the same amount of walleyes as it did a couple of decades ago. Max Walter, are you familiar with the study, and does that track with what you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, we've looked at that a variety of different angles, and this most recent study is, you know, another way of kind of describing it. And, yeah, that touches on what I mentioned earlier, which is that walleye aren't reproducing at the rate that they used to. You know, it's not that we have unprecedented amounts of harvest or, you know, fish dying of natural causes or diseases or anything like that. It's just that the spigot that, you know, used to supply new walleye into our lakes through natural reproduction has really been cranked down. And in some places, it's been cranked all the way down, and we're not seeing any natural reproduction. So it's a region-wide problem. It's happening in Wisconsin. It's happening in places in Minnesota. Mille Lacs is a really visible example, and now they're starting to see things happening in Canada, too. So it's a region-wide trend of walleye not producing as well, and it certainly appears to be linked to a lot of the things happening in our environment. We have these variable lengths for winter now. We have warming water temperatures. We have changes in water clarity, and those all impact a very specialized species like walleye, whereas other species that are more generous, like largemouth bass, do just fine with that, and in fact can kind of thrive and start to fill that niche that the walleye used to fill.
That's interesting. Conservation Congress hearing results. There's just a handful of things. Anything that jumps out at either of our fisheries biologists? Joseph Grybyshek.
The two big advisory questions from the spring hearings this year was to have a continuous open season for bass.
Yeah.
So we talked about a little bit about this last year.
It's kind of like what's going on with trout, just catch and release all year?
Right. So there would be no closed season for bass. Basically, there's no biological reason for that because bass don't spawn during this closed season period. And the main reason for a closed season for bass is to make it consistent with the other game fish seasons. If somebody's out there bass fishing, it's difficult to say, you know, to determine if they're walleye fishing or bass fishing. So enforcement becomes an issue with this. This advisory question did pass on a statewide level, so mm-hmm. it may move forward in the future.
And I'm also seeing, and I guess I'm probably not your territory here, but panfish, game fish regulations on the Mississippi River passed, Black River to priority list of lake sturgeon rehabilitation waters?
Sure, yeah. I mean, with the Black River, basically the biologist there was looking for public input on whether they should rehabilitate or stock the Black River with lake sturgeon. I believe that passed overwhelmingly statewide as well, so that's good to see. The other big advisory question on the spring hearings on a statewide level was alternative size and bag limits for catch and release bass tournaments. So this would be lakes that, say, have a one fish over 18-inch size limit. A lot of our trophy smallmouth lakes have that. And this would allow that regulation to be relaxed
temporarily for
yeah. a tournament. So basically, they would go to the statewide base regulation, which is a five fish bag limit with a 14-inch minimum, and that actually passed on a statewide level as well. So
okay. Probably worth noting, Joe, that that's only for permitted tournaments. You couldn't just go out and do that, and we'll still kind of have to work out what exactly the framework looks like, but the concept is out there.
You couldn't claim that you're having a tournament with your buddies or something.
Right. You need a signed piece of paper.
good point, Max.
All right. Well, we're getting close to the top of the hour. We could still take a question or a comment if you've got them. 800-228-5615. What about tips for people that, you know, if the ice is – I'll start with you, Max. You know, if ice just goes out, you've already talked about a little bit of where to find fish, but would you recommend people just kind of cooling their jets and – waiting till things warm up a little bit and fish do their thing? Or is there particular parts or particular lakes that might be more active right away?
Well, yeah, I mean, if people are itching to get out there, you know, right when the ice goes out can be a very productive time for fishing. And I think back to 2014 when the ice went out on the Chippewa flowage literally days before the opener, the walleye were up spawning and people had really, really good success catching them. They're shallow, especially as soon as they're done spawning, they're pretty hungry and they're pretty aggressive. They're easy to locate. There's a lot of fun to be had there. There's also some kind of conservation considerations as well. The way our seasons are set up is to protect walleye, at least when they're spawning, you know, under a normal year, mm-hmm. so that by the time they're done spawning, that's when the season would come open. This year, people are going to be able to fish for walleye while they're spawning. So, well, it can be a lot of fun, and you can catch a lot of fish. You know, something to think about is if we want those walleye to be out there reproducing, which has been a struggle, they may want to keep that in mind and maybe focus on harvesting something else and give the walleye a little bit of a break.
Yeah, I've found over the years that just like you've seen here with Joe and Joseph and Max, we've got some of the best and the brightest in the fisheries management industry. And it is an industry, and we can be thankful for that. And I've seen, as long as they're still able to do their job, them take some time to talk to individuals. I've seen them hold these conversations and answer questions at river landings and lake landings to as they go about collecting eggs and doing the business that they do. And it's very encouraging. That has remained as stable. And we've got a great bunch of people in it now, and our education systems are producing some really wonderful candidates to take their place and continue the traditions and make fishing openers something special, year-round fishing.
Yeah, yeah. I'll second that.
Aw, shucks.
Joseph Gerbyshack, in the western Wisconsin, Eau Claire, beyond areas, any places in particular that you would steer people towards?
Sure. Well, the Eau Claire River system, Lakes Eau Claire and Altoona, I know those are ice-free right now. Altoona has some phenomenal perch fishing to be had there. Hmm. It's a 10 fish bag limit to help protect that tremendous resource there. And Eau Claire, great lake. A lot of people like to crappie fish this time of year because this time of year, generally, crappies are pushing into their spawning habitat, pushing into that nearshore wood along the shorelines. Or this year, you know, since the water temps are going to be pretty darn cold yet, I would focus for crappie in a little deeper water, kind of, you know, 10, 12-foot river channel type area.
When can When can we noodle? Any, this is something that the governor signed not long ago. I would assume that we're good to go to noodle for catfish. And if you're not familiar, that's where you jump into the water, stick your arm in a muddy hole, and maybe a spawning catfish clamps on your arm and you pull them out. Isn't that the craziest thing you've ever heard? Very popular in the South now.
Certainly.
You're on the spot, Joseph.
Right. Lake Wissota's got some phenomenal flathead catfish. We've captured multiple fish over the 35-pound range, some in the 40-pound range.
Wow.
I think it's that's a fishery that really flies under the radar around here is the flathead catfish fishing. We got the Chippewa River here. Phenomenal catfish
people
fishing.
People always focus on the big muddy, you know, Mississippi.
Exactly, but I think that's maybe one reason why it is so good around here, because it is overlooked. Great eating fish too. They, you know, sometimes they get a bad name because they're bottom feeders.
Sure.
But great eating fish. So I know a lot of folks like to target the flatheads with live bait. Typically small bluegills or suckers or something like that, whereas channel cats are generally targeted with some type of stink bait or some crawlers or something like that. So.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, well, we've got 1 minute left. Final words. Who's got them? Dave Carlson.
Well, I think I've already spoken to the credibility these guys have and the...
Yep,
the,
we really appreciate their work.
The fine work that they're doing out there, and that's what it's all about. Just people go out and save... Be careful. Enjoy the fishery resource like Max talked about and Joseph, too. And yep. Have a great opener.
Have a great opener. Enjoy the sport. And also, take a kid fishing if you get a chance. Thank you to my guests, Max Walter and Joseph Gerbyshek, our DNR biologists. Max is up in Hayward. Joseph is right here in Eau Claire. Thanks to Debbie Sturchy for joining us as well. She's the executive director of Wisconsin Indian Head Country. Dave Carlson, of course, one of the outdoor guys. Always and forever. He is an outdoor writer and also creator of Northland Adventures, the syndicated TV show that we all loved so much. Joe Knight is out ill. Hopefully he's going to be recovering soon. But thanks for listening. Thanks for the call today. Have a safe and productive week. We'll chat again next Monday morning.